You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show.
And there it is. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Breaking Bad Series 5, Episode 16. I should have said season. I was still thinking Downton Abbey.
Whoops.
Season 5, Episode 16, the finale of the series. And now we're talking about the show entitled Felina. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by Kristen Stewart.
Hello, hello.
Tamara Bird.
Hey there, everybody.
Matt Lieberman.
Hey, hey.
And helming the booth is Stephen Lemieux. Stephen, you'll be chiming in from time to time.
Yes, I will. Hey, guys. Right. Oh, great finale.
Yeah. All right, since we went that way, let's talk about our overall reactions to it. Did it meet your hype? Did it fall short? How are you feeling right now? We just watched the episode, so what are you thinking?
I thought it was perfect, the perfect ending. I feel like everything we talked about in our predictions, everyone from last week and the season, I feel like it closed the way that we wanted it to. And there's so many viewing parties right now across
America.
Yeah,
no kidding.
When we had our own.
Yeah. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I think it's a proper capstone to the series. It was heavy on dramatic action, but there wasn't a lot of, you know, shoot 'em up craziness, which there was never going to be. That's not what this show is.
It never has been. It's had moments of all that.
Exactly. But you even think about the end of last season, you think of Face Off, right? Yeah. And there's one big moment of violence. But other than that, it's mostly just simmering dramatic tension.
It's more of a thriller drama than an action drama, I would say. You know, a thriller drama with action notes to it.
Right. It's a crime drama, and I think a lot of this episode was kind of dealing with the outcomes of all the crimes that Walt has committed, and kind of like the most important scene potentially of the whole series is the one between him and Skyler, where he finally admits it's not for the family. Yeah. I did it because I liked it. I liked it. I was good at it.
Well, that certainly was for him, but for me also there's the Jesse scene, because that was a big resolution for Jesse.
Oh yeah.
So there for me, that's what the whole, it wasn't really about the shoot 'em ups and who cares about that. I mean, those are fun, but it really was the resolutions between all these characters and what they've come to, and how we move on.
I think anyone who's really disappointed by this finale was expecting the wrong thing. Because we got this great build-up, especially at the end of last episode.
Yeah, but you know that there are going to be people who are disappointed.
Of course,
because
there are people who
how can it meet the hype? And that's I just think that
I feel like it did meet the hype. I feel like it was very satisfying. I mean, I can't even think of something that went unfinished.
Where's the money?
Well, there's that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But that's important because he doesn't care.
Yeah,
it doesn't
matter.
He doesn't care, but we do.
Exactly. I do.
Exactly. I'm just saying you're always going to have people that, because it's so well-liked and everybody has all kinds of theories about, oh, they should have done this, they should do that. So you know that they're going to have that. You just know it.
It's kind of going to be awesome, the treasure of Heisenberg. I feel like one day it's like they're going to find like in the ocean or whatever.
Just 7 barrels just drifting.
Because Jack and the other crew were like pirates, so I'm sure it's buried somewhere.
Sure.
They're, nah,
they're the modern Nazi pirates of the American Southwest.
Yeah, exactly. That's
Yar, me mateys. White is right. Yar.
Yeah, that's where they're going to go with that. No, it's in the compound somewhere.
Yeah, they're not smart enough to take it someplace.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the cops.
So the DEA will find it.
Yeah, they'll probably find it.
There could be so many spinoffs based on this last episode.
So nothing disappointing for anybody, or nothing really unexpected where you went, I'm so glad they got back to that.
I was just stunned at how quiet it was.
Because you were worried about the Chilean thing.
I know. Well, okay. Here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
And this episode really sealed it for me. This is very much, it's an intimate show. Mm-hmm. It's an intimate show with an intimate ending. It grew to such a size with the level of action in season 4 and season 5, like the high point being, you know, the shootout and Dead Freight where they're robbing a train. And it's ultimately a story about one man's choices and how he changed and the people around him changed because of those choices. And I think that what season five, the second half of season five did very, very smartly was narrowed the scope back down.
Yeah, they changed the framework. They did, yes.
Because, you know, with Gus Fring and the cartel and all of that, you've got all these people coming in from outside of Albuquerque who don't really matter in that ultimate emotional journey.
That's what I thought was best about this episode, because what they did was, okay, it's really all always been at its core always about Walter White and his journey. So how do we resolve all his relationships? And that's all they did. They just picked them apart. Okay, we got to have this resolution with this person, Lydia, and and then we have to have, you know, we need to make sure we have Gretchen and Elliot, because that's always been the driving force that he didn't get his due. So the hubris and all that kind of stuff, and he never had the proper goodbye with Skyler, which we've talked about.
Yep.
It was 2 weeks ago when he had that phone call with her. We knew I was suggesting that it wasn't just all him yelling at her. He was trying to take blame away from her.
Exactly.
You know, and that wasn't the way he wanted to go out.
Yeah. The one thing that, like, felt just a bit weak to me was Lydia and the ricin. Just because, you know, I wanted that to be it's the Chekhov's gun, the ricin. It's just sitting there.
Yeah. Right.
It's just sitting there, and he uses it on Lydia. Why?
Like, Why not?
I know that, like, that was the easiest way to get to her, and there wouldn't have been an opportunity to say, give it to Jesse. It wouldn't really have the dramatic oomph that it would have a few episodes ago before Jesse became a slave. But it just, like, oh, you feeling fluish? Oh, that's just the ricin I gave you and your stevia.
But I think it's also kind of, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to convey this. Stick with me. So when women try to commit suicide, they do it in prettier ways, you know, less violent ways, men do it in more violent ways. And so it was a less violent, more, for lack of a better word, feminine way to try and kill Lydia, you know, sort of more suited to who she was and used her own poison
against
to kill her. So that's why I kind of see what you're saying, but I was trying to think, who else are you going to kill with the ricin that's going to be really very satisfying?
And who didn't want Lydia to die?
Right.
I did. I want
her daughter, maybe.
That's true.
The Czech Republic, maybe.
They never introduced the daughter, so we don't have to worry about it. So anybody never got to see her or any of that kind of stuff. So
I feel like the tone of this episode was really set up when a lot of us were wondering, when Walt was walking into Gretchen and Elliot's place, what way he was going to take things.
Yeah.
That's what set the tone. And I don't feel like any of the audience knew either, except for they were kind of in the same position as Gretchen and Elliot, as they were scared for Gretchen and Elliot's life. We didn't know if they were going to die, if he was going to hurt them. And we were all surprised, as they were, that, you know, his character arc was completed and he took a different turn this time.
Yeah.
So I just feel like the people
Wait a minute, what different turn, though? I mean, because let's face it, I mean, he basically extorted them
for the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
Well, I think they kind of deserve that. But I just feel like he could have, you know, obviously killed them and then gone on a killing rampage, but that wouldn't have been, like, satisfying at all.
Right, that's not the Walter White way.
Well, it wouldn't in any way support what he wanted to do, which was give the money to his family.
Kids.
And not just give it, force them to take it.
Yeah, exactly. So, because they weren't going to take it on their own.
Right,
he had to figure out a way. Again, another great way to resolve that whole thing. How do I get them to make sure my family forces them to take that money?
Because
they wouldn't take it on their own.
It was a very clever method. Very clever.
Very mastermindy.
Mm-hmm. And also give the money to someone who doesn't need it personally.
Or you're talking, to hold on to.
Exactly.
Right. Where it makes sense that they would have money just lying around.
Yeah.
I loved it as a way to bring Badger and Skinny Pete back for one last appearance.
Just make the same one more time.
As soon as the lasers came up, I'm like, that's not enough money to get, like, the top hitmen west of the Mississippi.
Yeah. I bought it.
No.
I knew as soon as you said the two best hitmen west of the Mississippi, Skinny Pete and Badger, who else are they going to be?
Exactly.
Because who else is he going to get?
Who else is he going to get for $100,000 each? Yeah. $100,000 each to be doing this thing indefinitely for the rest of their lives? Come on.
Yeah.
No.
But they might buy it.
They might buy it because they're too busy talking about wine.
They don't know any better.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is it good? Oh,
Napa.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Go to Napa.
Is it ripe? Oh, yeah, it's ripe.
Perfect. Awesome.
You're going to need a bigger knife.
Oh, my God.
Can I say something?
Yes, yeah. Of course.
What I really liked about the scene with them being so scared was that that was Walter at the beginning of the first season. Was he would have reacted the exact same way if somebody did that to him, like dropping the knife and being so nervous. So seeing Gretchen, their performance against Walter, who this is five seasons later, it's just, it's like the arc. I love it.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's also great to see them the way he was dressed and everything, and he looks so defeated in some sense because obviously he's lost a lot of weight, he's coughing like crazy, and then just at the last minute when he turns around, the lights... Does the pointing to the windows and the lights, the lasers come on.
Yeah.
I said, okay, this is where we're going.
But I was legitimately terrified for them when he was just in the house and they had no idea that he was there, and they're having the most inane conversation about food, and he's just getting so hungry. Mundane. If it's pizza or it's Thai food, you can't compare them. I'd much rather have blah, blah, blah. But then he's just picking up the photos and he's thinking about
massaging the wall, noticing the quality everywhere that they bought with his money.
Right. This could have been the life that he had. Right. If Gretchen hadn't dumped him for his partner, and if he hadn't had a
that was
hissy
fun for
fit
me
about
too, because when he's actually looking at the house, you're going to compare that to his house, and we go to his house later, and I thought, wow, look at that!
Yeah,
had some great little juxtaposition going on there.
I also like when Gretchen was like talking when they were walking in with the food. Is this the man I really married? Because he was making such a big deal about that.
And you never know the man you really married, because let's face it, Skyler.
Sir,
asking the same question.
No. So.
I just felt at that point it could have been Walt, obviously, when she was saying that.
Yeah, well, it's definitely rich with subtext, you know. And honestly, I'm just glad that we brought them back into the series. It's one of those little connecting.
Yeah,
it's like the spine. If this was, it's the spine of the series. Mm-hmm. There's this story going back that what is propelling this guy to continue to make these decisions, you know, beyond the family. And we got real confirmation of that this week. And I honestly feel like this whole finale, and especially that scene with Skyler and how he took these guys down, it was owning up that Heisenberg was not a separate person. It was not a separate part of his persona. In many ways, he invented it and allowed it to manifest so that because he couldn't get over the fact of how much he enjoyed what he was doing.
Yeah. And to come off that as well with the scene with Skyler when he finally has clarity there and realizing that, no, I did it for myself.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think Heisenberg was always inside of him.
Yeah.
And he did everything he could just to live a different kind of life for a myriad of reasons. But there's clarity there when he realizes that, no, I did it for myself. And you can see it the way he hated so much that Gretchen and Elliot got so much recognition for that, which he helped create. And then to be able to see him realize that, well, I mean, I should say it this way. What would have happened if he had stayed with that? And what kind of megalomaniac would he have been in that?
Oh, yeah.
That would have been interesting.
But he may have gotten lung cancer.
True.
And been dying in the same, calendar.
Yeah.
And so
who knows?
He kind of wins in a way in this one, you know, because for the rest of their lives, they're looking over their shoulders.
Right. Well,
and
until they give that money up.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, because they're so, white bread, they probably would be afraid afterwards, too.
Could be.
Could be.
Do you think he achieved that clarity alone in the cabin?
Well, I think that was part of it. I think, once you aren't,
no
that.
One to talk to, exactly. Nothing to look at, and nowhere to go.
All you do is have time. It kind of narrows your distractions quite a bit. God.
I wonder how many fans have since sought out Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium and really tried to take in the themes Walter must have absorbed over several viewings.
Sales have definitely gone up.
Exactly. since you brought that up, let's talk about the title of this episode, Felina.
Yes.
And let's also talk about the songs.
First of all, a jumble of finale, the words, which that's just a fun little clever thing. Mm-hmm.
It's a jumble of finale. And then there were also a few other theories circling around the web since the title was released. One very prominent one that I'll actually give a shout out to my brother for making me aware of is that if you break it down, F-E-L-I-N-A are the periodic symbols for iron, lithium, and sodium. And many people were saying blood, meth, and tears. Mm-hmm. Because iron and blood, lithium and meth, and salt water. Exactly. That was one big theory. And then the other one was sort of circling around the song, which wound up playing very heavily into the episode.
Opening song,
yes. El Paso by Marty Robbins. And I'm just going to read very quickly some of the lyrics, which if you take Felina to mean meth and you think it's singing about meth specifically, I feel like a very interesting thread appears. Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rosa's Cantina. Music would play and Felina would twirl. Blacker than night were the eyes of Felina, wicked and evil while casting a spell. My love was deep for this Mexican maiden. I was in love, but in vain, I could tell. One night, a wild young cowboy came in, wild as the West Texas wind, dashing and daring a drink he was sharing with wicked Felina, the girl that I loved. So in anger, I challenged his right for the love of this maiden. Down went his hand for the gun that he wore. My challenge was answered in less than a heartbeat. The handsome young stranger lay dead on the floor.
Which, of course, is how we ended the episode. Mm-hmm. And the way he was touching the stainless steel containers in that.
Right.
He was touching them with it, and it looked
it was
like
a lover's, lover's caress, almost.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that was just. Yeah, well, when we learned about this, the lyrics and everything like that, I didn't know. I mean, I lived in El Paso, I don't know the lyrics.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that was the name of her. Go ahead.
No, just last week we were talking about the pressure of when you're the best in the world at something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of a drug. There's nothing quite.
It's very intoxicating.
There can't be anything like
seductive
it.
Seductive.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's no one better in the world at what he does. And then when he finds out.
Especially coming off. Somebody else getting credit for what you did.
Yeah, right. And mm-hmm. it potentially being better than what yours ever was.
Yeah.
And he could not have that.
No.
Nope.
No. There can only be one.
I have a question for you guys. Was he praying when he was in the car, when he was like, just let me get
Which
home,
time?
Walter White, when he was in the car
when
in the
he
opening?
Was in the Volvo in the
oh,
snow.
Yeah. To cool. anyone
then
who would
just
listen.
Let me
it's
get
a form
home,
of prayer.
Yeah. And I'll do the rest. And then the keys just...
I don't know that he was making either. Such an awesome promise to God about I'll do the rest.
Well, he is punishing criminals. You know.
All right, okay.
Sometimes God's,
we'll
God makes exceptions.
That far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like, look, I'm going to hell anyway. Why don't you let me take a few guys with me?
The closing shot with Walt in the
meth lab.
Meth lab. First of all, was he shot or was it lung cancer that was making him bleed?
I think it was that he was shot.
I think he was
shot. Yeah, because they had on the screen Brunt's.
Yeah,
then
they put the shot at him.
Yeah. So. Okay. And he saved Jesse.
Yeah,
right.
By
but that closing shot reminded me of the under the house shot.
Yeah, that's
right?
Exactly
so that
what
was,
I was thinking.
Oh, the crawl space shot.
And his face with that kind of maniacal sort of smile.
Yeah, the smile, which is the other one, was that laugh that he had.
Right.
So that is exactly what I was thinking too. So nice little parallel.
And poor Jesse gets away laughing maniacally into the night. Mm-hmm. We have no idea where he'll wind up.
He's headed to that golden light where he can make wooden boxes.
I agree. Alaska would be the perfect place. I mean, that's where he wanted to go. What's going to stop him?
He could sell crafts there.
You said crafts for anybody that wasn't didn't come across.
Craft.
It wasn't crack. He wasn't.
He could sell crafts there. But here's the thing: Vince Gilligan this week, when pressed for a spoiler or a clue about this finale, the one word that he said was woodworking. That was the one thing he said about the whole finale. So it kind of makes you question about that little dream that he's having. Mm-hmm. Is that a fantasy? Did he ever make wood? He loved this box so much.
I have a comment on that.
Please do.
So that little fantasy he had, it was really just he was taking pride in his work as he made that box. And that's really what Walter White would always teach him when he's making the meth. Mm-hmm. You have to take pride in your work, Jesse. Mm-hmm. So as he's making this meth, he's imagining it as if he's making this box that it's just something to be proud of. But then it goes back to the dingy underworld of he's making meth. He's chained up and everything. It pulled him out of his fantasy because as he's slow, I mean, you'd go insane strapped there for so many months.
Sure.
I also think the box and the crafts could, you know, represent the meth that it did, that what Walter White was good at. Perhaps this is him finding his happiness and what he's good at.
But there, I mean, do we have any indication? Does anybody know anything? Anybody out there listening, by the way, has he ever talked about? Was he ever a woodworker? I mean, even high school or anything like that? I'm just curious.
Took chemistry instead of wood shop.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Did I miss something in one of the episodes? Because you know,
I'm not entirely sure. If he mentioned wood shop, it was a while ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, but you know, there is something to the idea that just you know you're. Your mind has to go somewhere, otherwise you're going to drive yourself nuts. And he, who knows, maybe he was going nuts, and that's why he had this little reverie. But I just love the idea that in his mind he went someplace where it was kind of cool.
Or it was safe, and he was making something lovely, and you know, that came from the earth.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah,
lovely and warm, and he can put all the bad feelings in there. Put all the bad feelings away in the box, and then put the box on the shelf next to the other boxes. Because I am an insane little man.
Do you guys think now he's driving off mad? Or I mean,
yes.
No, I think the fact that he did not shoot Walter White. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like he's nuts because the fact that he didn't shoot Walter White says a lot about who he is right now in his mindset.
I think I didn't think he was ever going to shoot him, I honestly didn't. Mm-hmm, but the thing when he said do it yourself, I think that was a bigger moment because then he's no longer his puppet.
Right.
It's
huge,
And he's obviously realized it and now he can finally say something about it. And you know, so for me, that was the bigger point. I don't think he's nuts at all, even though he's laughing and crying and maniacally as he's driving away. But if you were stuck like that, that's probably what all of us would do if we got free.
Yeah, sort of temporarily nuts because you're testing the
But I wanted to see the next moment. Like he finally will run out of gas or he gets to a crossroads and then it's like...
Or he stops on the cops coming in the other direction.
Now what?
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, that's, of course, we'll never see that, but that would be the fascinating thing. What's... You know, we can talk about that if we ever do predictions.
But isn't that kind of the point? Because thanks to Walt's actions, this is kind of a doomed guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's been through so much. Like, whatever degree of normalcy he's able to achieve in his life from here out, it's not going to be pretty.
No. I don't agree with that. I feel like he's going to achieve a much simpler life. I think he's going to Alaska. Well, I think he's going to find happiness in something very small. That's why, like,
for me, that's
making.
What the wood represented, the woodworker, whether or not it was a simple, you know, it was just that. Being good at something, yes, but there's some simplicity to that, and that he—that's what he would long for—is that there wouldn't be all this craziness and you know, death, and
right because the two women that he loved were, died,
yes,
were murdered
brutally. Well, one brutally murdered, one
it was brutal to watch.
Yeah,
right.
Well, Brock is still around.
Yeah, Brock's alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think Brock would let him back into his life? I mean, not that Brock has any idea. That Jesse was responsible for his mom's death on any level.
I don't think Jesse could even get close to Brock at this point. Jesse just needs to leave and let it all go.
Yeah.
And find that simple life.
Start a new life.
I would think he would want to try to help him.
Despite what he wants, it would just be screwing himself.
It would be screwing Jesse? To help Brock?
Yeah.
Well, because what's he going to do? Kidnap Brock and take him to Alaska? Because Jesse is a known entity.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't just go over to Brock's house and go, hey, come on, let's go hang out in my apartment. The DEA will come eventually and take Jesse away, and then Brock will be once again parentless.
No, I just meant that we don't know who's taking care of him.
Yeah. Is he in the foster system?
That's what I'm saying.
What's going on?
I'm just, because of where Jesse came from, he might think that if this kid's in a foster home somewhere, he might think, well, I think
at least
I know the kid. I love the kid. I can be a better friend than the foster family. I'm not saying he's going to do that. I'm just saying that I can see Jesse doing that. I can see him at least thinking that. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know.
We won't know. So did it, other than me and Tamara, I think you didn't, did it bother anybody that we didn't find out where the money was or anything about the money?
Nope.
You didn't care about
it. It made too much dramatic sense that we don't find out that Walt didn't care. And if Walt doesn't care, it's not important to the story. It's, unless it was like poised to fall in, like roll downhill into some small town and change a bunch of lives, you know.
Well, see, that's kind of what I thought was going to happen. Only because you know, remember how when Jesse had all that money, he's just throwing it, changing people's lives or whatever. I just thought there might be something of that. because you could see Jesse, maybe doing something good with it because he's seen the horrible side
right.
of it.
Right.
And the greed of it.
That would be funny if all 70-something million was in the trunk of that car that he just picked up.
So it couldn't have been in the trunk.
However, if that did happen, it would feel a little Cinderella to me.
It would.
I mean, that would feel a bit contrived. Yeah, sure. But I'm happy with the way it ended. That was the one thing that was – Vince Gilligan is so brilliant. I'm sure he could have come up with a way for it to manifest and us not to think that there was a bow on top of
that. No, I wouldn't want that either. I wouldn't want him to have the whole 80 million or whatever the hell it was. But if, like – if there was some of it, I could see that. Okay, there's, because just him driving away was fun and everything, but it would have been kind of cool if he got a little something out of it,
right?
Other than his life,
right?
It would have been nice.
Yes,
I think it was really important that the money wasn't important to the characters that we cared about at the end of the day.
Yeah. No, I think that's what we're saying.
Well, I don't disagree on that. I mean, as soon as Jack said, "Don't you want your money?" Well, and he shoots him, then that's great. I know that he doesn't care about the money.
No,
but I knew that when he went to Skyler.
Yes. But I think it's important that Jesse doesn't care either about the money anymore.
Well, we knew that when he was throwing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't, again, it's not about whether or not Jesse wants the money. It's just what he could do with that money.
Right.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's all.
Well, you can always just take it as the jumping off point for a feature film about a small town affected by this bunch of drug money. Money falls down a mountain in barrels and everyone benefits only to discover that said money was actually a drug lord's money. And now the DEA is trying to take all the money back, but they're already spending it and their lives have already changed. So what's going to happen? It's a moral dilemma. Ooh, I know this isn't Breaking Bad. We're getting back on top.
I think it'd be more likely that Jesse driving off and speeding up is probably just the beginning of Need for Speed, because as we all know, Aaron Paul is cast in Need for Speed.
Okay.
And it's a super intense trailer. It's like way more intense than any movie based on a video game, I feel like. Anyway. Or at least based on Need for Speed.
Okay, well, who didn't know when Lydia was at the coffee shop that she wasn't going to get the stevia? And, I mean, going to get the ricin and the stevia. Was there anybody that wasn't?
I didn't know.
About it last week.
I know. Well, I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought there would be a more interesting use for the ricin. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I don't like that
who
she
did
got
you
the
want
ricin.
To get it?
Well, at this point, I didn't really know, because I wanted it to be Jesse back when I thought it was going to ultimately be a confrontation between them, or
right.
Walt dosing himself, or something like that, or using it to fake somebody out, or maybe it ends with him cracking the ricin open and pouring it down a dray and realizing that he doesn't need it anymore. I don't know, but it going in Lydia's coffee, of all people, makes such little dramatic impact to something that carried over from 2010.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was perfect. I don't have a problem with how they used it. Do you guys have a problem with how
they
used it?
Well, since I said it a couple weeks ago, I'm happy with it. Because
finally, a prediction that came true.
Exactly.
Whatever.
You're the only one unhappy here. Yeah.
Big W.
Matt not liking that. All right.
Matt and I are kind of on the same team about we're really sad that we keep making predictions all this season.
Yeah, exactly.
None of them.
Because they're brilliant predictions.
They're fabulous. Yes. They're fabulous. But let me just ask you this. Was it all right that Lydia got out?
Oh, yeah. She deserves to get off.
Yeah. And that moment where she's on the phone thinking she's talking to Todd, has the sniffles, the vaporizer is going on in the background.
Oh, yeah. That was so funny.
And she's like, I got the flu. What of it? No.
See,
you're on the road to dead.
I was happy that the ricin got to her. I think if they had not really said anything about it or not really paid attention to it when she was in the shop and you only saw her at the end and he didn't say as much as he did, I think you would have been much happier, Matt, because it wouldn't have been – because I think it was too on the nose what I was talking about. If it was a much more, hey, how are you feeling? Why? No reason.
Yeah,
that
would have been rad.
Yeah,
I would have really liked that.
Exactly.
But I think maybe they were like being overly cautious because
for the dumbasses who don't remember.
Yeah. People,
what happens
I'm just saying
just
there were tons of people who in the season 4 finale didn't see she will make that switch.
Right.
So they made the one where he swiped the pot way more obvious.
Right.
And then this one they were like, let's just hammer this home so that
just
no one misses
sure.
it. Yeah. So that we're not getting any tweets in the morning being like, what happened to the ricin?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I think they covered both the masterminds who really appreciate the subtext of everything that they do, and they also covered the people who don't quite understand or invest
or
the time
have,
as
or just
much.
Or may have missed it. Yeah,
yeah, totally. May have missed it or aren't as invested in reading every article like we all tend to.
See, I would have. I was hoping that what they would do is they'd go back to Lydia and she would start to feel bad, and then she would start to go back in her own mind
and
realize
out
what
herself.
Happened without him having to say a word.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
I don't know if you
might maybe hard to show.
Matt's got the sniffles today.
I've got the sniffles.
Oh.
All
right. Well,
I don't think I was dosed.
Just one little quick thing. Lydia's ringtone on Todd's phone.
Oh, yes.
Lydia the tattooed lady.
She got tattooed today. That's for sure.
That was just funny. That made me laugh.
So I want to go to the Skylar scene.
Yes.
I thought they were shot beautifully. It was so...
I did not see that coming.
I knew he was going to be there.
I did not. I mean, I was looking at the architecture going, what a weird place to put a column.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
I didn't, like, think past it.
Yeah.
The shot made me suspicious, but, and I was like, it would be funny if
when they
was
started
there.
Moving in towards her, I thought, oh, that's him. We were his POV, and then he's been there the whole time.
Oh, right.
And then when he was revealed, I thought, whoa. Either way, it was great. I loved it. So, what do we think about I know we talked to – I just want to talk more about that scene. It was amazing to me that they allowed him that moment to come full circle, to have his – he never said he was sorry about it, which was great. I'm glad he didn't say that. Mm-hmm. I was worried for a second that he was going to say he was sorry for it, but it really stayed true when he just said that it was all for me. It was all for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the closest thing to an apology.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Admittance of guilt, mm-hmm. really,
right.
is what it was. You know.
Yeah. I think all that clarity came in New Hampshire when he was alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I really liked when she allowed him to go see Holly.
Yeah.
And she watched him with her, and there was just a little bit of the recognition of what they did have at one time that is all messed up in this moment.
There was a tenderness there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also was realizing that in a weird way it did come through that it was about his family. I mean, he did right by her.
Yeah.
By
coming back and saying all that, and he's trying to do right by his other kids, but his children, by giving them something. Mm-hmm. He's still trying to make it about the family, but now it seems to be coming from a
more true place.
A selfless place rather than a selfish place.
I'm so curious as to how Gretchen and Elliot are going to just give Walter Jr. the money and he's going to accept it at all.
Well, Walt gave him the out. I mean, he said, the poor...
You could easily
wretched
sell
refuse
it.
Exactly. Of a drug lord.
Right. You shouldn't have to deal with this. And it's not your fault that your father became this crazy person. And
so have this very specific amount of money.
Yes, exactly.
Have this very, very...
remember, some of it's got to be taken up by lawyer's fees, so they can have it.
Yeah. But that'll be even more specific. Then it'll be like,
pennies on the dollar.
$9,547,329. And it's like, that's kind of
you just give your lawyer a little bit more, so you don't have to worry about it.
But to address your point, Kristen, they said it's an irrevocable trust. The money can never be returned when he comes into that money.
That's
so
great.
He can't refuse it. He could give it all away.
Yeah, but
but he can't send it back.
Right.
He will have to actually make that decision for himself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And Holly gets nothing.
Holly gets jack.
I'm pretty sure in the message it was use it to your family. Use it for your college your family.
No, it was just use it for your college.
And your family.
And your family.
And your family.
Yeah, no, they said that. I wrote it down.
Sorry.
I'm just imagining.
That was an awesome college.
Walter Jr. just sees all the money. He thinks for about 30 seconds and he's like, well, and it's just cut and it's just.
Palatial estate.
No, it's just Dodge Challengers as far as the eye can see. It's just like...
No, it's eggs and bacon. It's a swimming pool of eggs and bacon.
Okay.
Yeah, right. No, it's a swimming pool full of eggs and made out of bacon.
Right, and Holly on the outside knocking, hey, what about me?
No. Yeah. And he puts up a fence made of toast.
yes.
Yeah. Ben's made of toast and hash brown chaise lounges. There we go.
I want to go
and
there.
It rains syrup.
Okay. Wow.
Breakfast land. Seriously, if there was a Breaking Bad breakfast land created, everyone would go there every day.
Every day?
Not every day. We're tired of it.
We haven't talked about Jax and Todd. We haven't talked anything
about let's do.
About the showdown. Aryan
Brotherhood. What do we think about that? Did, I mean, when he was putting together the rifle. By the way, I just thought it was hysterical when you saw the owner's manual on the truck.
And he's just humming. Yeah.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah. And then he's pulling.
And wait, hold on. I want to say specifically, it is an M60. There are fans who are really bothered.
They are.
Because I kept saying M64. I had read an article. I got it wrong. And I kept saying it. So, sorry. It's an M60. And he was able to handle it very efficiently by himself.
With his own hands.
With his own garage open.
Yeah. Really? They're that bothered by that?
Yeah.
Very upset.
Okay. Sorry about that, people.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, regardless, let's talk more about how he put it all together.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to put it up on a hillside somewhere.
Yeah.
Or shoot, mm-hmm. Just for cover or something like
right?
that. Yeah. But then as soon as the car came in, I went, uh-oh. Uh-huh. But I had no idea how that was going to play out. Anybody have that guess or anything?
Oh, yeah. I saw it coming. The red. Well, because the key fob was red, first of all. Yeah. Key fobs are
no,
never
but
red.
Did you know that it was going to be coming out of the trunk of a car?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
because of how he maneuvered the car to park
so
in the lot.
That yeah. I just meant before that.
But I thought it was going to be like pointing straight out the back of the trunk, and then he was just going to somehow try to get them all lined up. But this was far more efficient. This was a smarter.
More Walter White-ish.
On the side.
Yeah.
But
you just got to be lower than the line of fire.
Exactly. No, I thought it was expertly done.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't check the trunk.
Yeah.
That's what I was
that careful. Pop the trunk.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Pop the trunk. He looks in the back seat. Okay, pop the trunk. Nope. No reason to pop the trunk.
I guess because they figured he couldn't carry anything in with him, but still.
Yeah, I mean,
they knew they were going to check him.
They knew they were going to kill him.
But they also know that he's good with bombs.
The criminal master.
Yeah.
Why did they not check that? I thought that was which is why I never thought he would put it in a car, because why wouldn't they check the car?
Right.
People always underestimate him. I mean, am I wrong?
No, I just wouldn't think that Jack would and his crew, because they know, let's face it, they know how... What he's been capable of.
But they're also kind of on a power trip because they totally took apart his empire in a second, have all of his money. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't need him anymore. They're going to kill him the moment that he gets here. Apparently, he looks like crap, according to Todd. So it's like, well, I think we're just not going to give him a chance to use anything.
I think that's the setup they gave you in the cafe, is him talking to Todd, saying that he's broke, he has nothing, and he's really desperate. That way they make it seem like he's wanting to work with them as opposed to wanting to kill them all.
So why would he possibly bring a weapon with him? Because
they think
And they weren't searching him for weapons. They were searching for a wire.
But they were...
also for weapons.
First of all, I think it was cool that it came out of the trunk, and that was great.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I just think it was a misstep not to have them search. I just think they would have. I mean, if they're going to search, I just think they would have. I just think that was...
All right.
It was too
easy.
We're
going to suspend disbelief on that one, John.
No, I agree with John, but I'm like, but John, it worked out very nicely.
I know, it was great. Yeah. I love that part of it. I'm just saying that. I wish they had done that differently.
They could have opened the trunk and him, you know, just had it underneath, you know, where they keep the tire.
I'll tell you why it really bothered me, because I would think that Walter would have had a better plan for that, because he's such a better
meticulous.
Plan for everything.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he think they'd be checking that?
Yeah.
I mean,
because he didn't always have a plan for everything.
I know.
He didn't always. He's not perfect.
Well, that's true. But when everybody underestimates him, not even when they underestimate him, but when they don't underestimate him, he still bests them.
Because he's also lucky.
Exactly. And I also think it was a little weird that, you didn't think that they were going to take your keys?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't have a backup plan for that?
Oh, I need those. I need those keys.
But I'm going, what was his backup plan? Or did he just, you know, it just seemed, everything else was so thought out. I went,
I'll tell you all about my process, but first, just let me hold my keys.
Exactly, that's right. That would seem weird to me. Because,
I really like my keys. Right.
I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, John. I was thinking those things too, but at the end of the day, I'm just so impressed with the execution of but that, the, what he did.
But that's what happened. The execution of the execution.
Yeah, the execution of the execution.
So it seemed like they had, this is going to be great. It'll be a card. Like the writer's room going crazy. And let's not worry about that part. It's just so cool to see that happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But then also at the same time, when it went down, it was just so very simple. It just kind of happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? There wasn't a huge amount of tension. We knew he was going to get the keys. There was at no point that, you know what? That's what bothers me about it, right? Mm-hmm. At no point did I think, oh God, this might not go off.
No, right.
I was like, oh my God, he might not kill. They might kill him. He's not going to get those keys. He's not going to get to the machine gun. And that is probably the chief failing of that kind of thing. It's just like, what I love about this series and a lot of ambitious cable series versus, you know, say the majority of broadcast ones is, you know, ultimately there are a few things that will never happen. Mm-hmm. It's why, you know, in Game of Thrones, when they have a lot of significant deaths, you know, most notably in the first season, you know, I won't spoil, but just like they took big risks in terms of mortality. And then at that point, anything could happen on the show.
Yeah, and the stakes are really high.
And that's what I liked about this show is ultimately we don't know what's going to happen. The tension is very real. Mm-hmm. When in this episode, the tension fell off for me because I'm like, well, that they wouldn't end the show that way. I'm like, he's going to succeed. He's going to succeed to some degree.
Yeah, I mean that
because him being gunned down
of their own success in some degree. Because
him being gunned down by Aryans wouldn't be, you know, significant. It wouldn't feel right.
Yeah.
So I felt like he was always going to get the keys, and that's like a huge bummer.
Well,
you needed that second of it being impossible for him to win.
Yeah, you need it to be like more difficult than that, which is why it bothers you that they didn't search because after all this time, after you go so far and you do so much on this show to make it that easy for him is a bummer.
Yeah, because it makes him even more of a mastermind when he overcomes the hard.
He's not a master, but that's the thing is like he's not a mastermind. He's a very smart guy who was driven to desperation, and then he had some serious, you know, ego issues that drove him to do things that most people wouldn't think of because he was driven either by ego or by hubris.
He's not a mastermind. In terms of mastermindedness, he's done pretty well.
Yeah,
he's pretty much masterminded these things.
Yeah, and then it fell apart just as easily because he's not a mastermind. He's not a mastermind. He's a guy who's really smart who had a run of great luck.
Where did his mastermindery fall short?
I feel like we asked for too much.
Jesse said
he's incredible. He's smarter than everybody, and he's luckier than everybody.
I know, but you also get Hank saying you're the smartest guy, and you don't even know this guy made his decision 10 minutes ago. And I think in certain things, he is a genius in his figuring out these things. Yeah. Let's face it. But I think they are a victim of their own success in the sense that the stakes are really high. People expect a lot of them. But for the most part, they meet those expectations. But yeah, I wanted it to be more difficult. But I think more interestingly is the fact that he really believed Jesse was there, not as
a
slave, but as a partner. I think that was genuine.
Yeah.
And it was interesting when he came in there and he realized, oh, he's not. There wasn't a heck of a lot of reflection or understanding what that meant now, because now his plan is in awry in some degree because he expected to just take everybody out.
Yeah.
And now he's thinking, oh, he's not taking over my spot and he's doing this under duress. And I was like, I wanted that to be a bigger moment because you didn't really get to see him.
Of Walt's realization,
his choosing to do, okay, I'm not going to do what I thought I was going to do. I'm going to have to do something else. And obviously he did, and you get to see it. But I was like, damn. And I didn't get to see that in the actor's face. Mm. They didn't really play that up. And I thought that was a missed moment for me.
But did his plan change at all, though? Because if he was expecting Jesse to be there, wouldn't he have been planning to tackle him all along, whether he was in handcuffs or not?
No, I think if
he was going to let Jesse,
I think he was going to let Jesse be killed. I don't think he was going to stop it.
Would he have killed himself too?
I think that could have been part of the problem. Look, I'm just going to go out with everybody. What, you know? He's already dead anyway.
I don't think so, because he tackled Jesse to the floor knowing it was going to go off. I think that he knew he was saving Jesse and he knew he was saving himself at that point.
No, that's not
what we're saying is if Jesse was actually Jack's partner.
Mm-hmm.
Would he have thrown himself to the floor at all, or would he have allowed himself to die
with
in a hail of bullets? Which is what I think would have happened.
That's what I think. Mm-hmm. But we didn't get to know that because we didn't know the plan. But we didn't even get to see him actually realize what the hell's going on and make a different decision because we just didn't get to see that.
Right.
And for me, that was a missed moment because I wanted that
because
moment.
That's a huge moment.
It is a
first
huge
of all.
Moment. It's like, okay, now what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I thought this guy was in a partnership and now he's not, and now I want to save him. That's a big jump to go from.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to go take him out and everybody else in a hail of bullets, myself included, and now I'm going to make a different decision. And we didn't get to see that process.
I feel like we saw the process, though, of his clarity that he was reached at the cabinet of sort of making peace with everyone. At the same time, we didn't know what he was going to do with Gretchen and Elliot. And sort of in the moment, we were there with him and he made that decision. I feel like he made the same decision and was capable of that understanding and clarity because in the moment, what he had achieved at the cabin, he also, you know, did with Gretchen and Elliot.
But he already had his plan for Gretchen and Elliot. Stayed the same way before, and he completed that plan. This was different because he had a plan going in and had to change it in the moment.
But
we didn't get to see that.
But I feel like he had already changed at the cabin. And when he
he didn't have the plan to go off on a hail of bullets with everybody.
But he was going to take the shot on Jesse before the cabin. But I'm saying if he would have been in that cabin alone before he said to give the hit on Jesse, I don't think in a situation he would have said to go ahead and kill Jesse.
I don't think he was going to go after. He didn't know that Jesse was involved. He thought Jesse was dead until Badger and Skinny Pete said,
your
meth is still on the street and it's even better. And he knew.
It had to be Jesse
because Todd would never be that good at it. He hadn't cooked with him for that long. So he didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't have a plan of the cabin for Jesse.
Right.
No.
I'm not saying he had a plan. I'm just saying that the cabin changed him, and he had that sense of clarity that he achieved, and I think he was probably happy to know that Jesse was still there. I know that he thought he was partnered with him, and that was all kind of his play going in, but I think that he wouldn't give a hit on
Jesse.
Did
he look happy when he said Jesse?
He did not seem mad to me.
I
did not feel like he had the Heisenberg. No, I didn't feel like he was Heisenberg.
But this is upset. This is Walt post Heisenberg.
Yeah,
like Heisenberg died in that cabin.
Yeah, I agree.
With the hat. But Walter White. That's the thing. Heisenberg was like the catch-all name and persona for all of his negative behavior, all of his violence, all of his hatred, all of his arrogance. But in the cabin, that stuff didn't necessarily die.
No.
He just accepted that it's part of himself.
It's always been there.
It's always been there, and it's part of himself.
Yeah.
So when he finds out that Jesse's still alive, Jesse, who he had sent to his death.
Right, he thought Jesse was dead.
He was ready to kill him.
Yeah.
He was ready to kill him. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Betrayer.
For many reasons. One, because I already ordered him dead, and that was supposed to happen. Now, not only is he not dead, but he's taken over what I created, like Gretchen and Elliot did.
And it's better than mine?
He's a wait
a minute. They have the nerve to say that it's better?
Yeah.
Jesse.
But this is why I'm thinking that moment in the club hall was way more significant than they allowed that time for.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is that... I wanted to take him out because of, and then I learned that okay, it's not everything I thought, and now I'm going to save him rather than kill him.
But even
it's a big leap.
Even when you don't have that much of that huge moment there, when I saw that scene, I didn't really need that much to be thinking like I can't imagine the intense sadness that Walt's feeling right now. Because when he told him to kill Jesse, no pain,
yeah. Right?
No pain,
absolutely.
And then they took him and tortured him for all these months that he's been in a cabin. Jesse's been here. I just, like, I projected my own self of intense sadness onto Walt when I saw that scene.
But wait a minute. Let's not forget. The first time he said Pinkman needs to be killed, that's when he said, no pain, I don't want to, you know,
right.
All that kind of stuff. But afterwards, when we were at Tahajuli, and he says, I know where Pinkman is.
Yeah.
Then he makes the deal. There's nothing about
there
pain there.
Caveats.
No, I just want him dead.
Right.
There's no caveat on that one. So that was long since gone.
Yeah. No half measures.
Yeah. So
I think we just need to address that we haven't.
Oh yeah, Kristen had to leave. She's catching a flight. So thank you very much.
Bye, Kristen.
So
hi,
that's
Kristen.
Where she left. Thank you. So, but anyway, I just thought it was a great scene. I thought the technically it was wonderful just because how often you get to see
the gun strafing scene.
An M64.
M60. No, it's an M60.
For God's sake,
everyone, calm down. We have addressed it.
Don't get your M60 down.
It is an M60. Yeah. One man can fire it.
The big ass gun. So, I mean, how often do you get to see that? That was kind of cool.
That chair.
Oh, the chair.
The chair.
I want to talk about the chair.
Oh, okay, yeah, the desk chair.
Yeah.
You don't see people die in a massage chair.
Oh, the massage chair. That was so funny.
It was eerie and funny.
That was so funny.
That overhead shot where he's still moving and you're like, what is?
Why is he
so
moving? What's
weird
that?
Creepy and disgusting.
Super gross.
The sound on it too, because it almost sounded like you could hear blood gurgling and seeping into the chair.
I love their use of sound effects, like the motor from the machine gun, the motor in the chair, in the back, the whole time.
Yeah. That's eerie.
This is like a dumb detail, but I'm still wondering what happened to it. When he was building the gun in the desert, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's like half an office chair with him. There's like an office chair. There's like an office chair seat and back with no legs on it. And then it never gets used. It's just there.
Well, is that what the gun was sitting on?
Part of the housing of the mechanism that the gun was on.
Is that what the M60 was sitting on?
I'll watch it again. I didn't see it in the trunk. That's why I was like, originally I was like, okay, so that's going to be his seat or the seat for whoever is going to be doing this firing. Uh-huh. You know?
It's probably where the gun was sitting.
Yeah,
we'll have to go back and look at it. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't, but it's kind of weird.
I'm just sitting there watching the gun mow down all these guys. I'm like, where's this damn office chair? This is going to bug me forever. It's like between this office chair and the Chileans. I mean, the holes are just no. Yeah, that is a nitpick to the extreme.
But, you know, there's some people who are going to write, yeah, you know what? I'm thinking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I have another one to bring up that I don't know about, and I hope I'm not putting you guys on the spot, but I'm pretty sure you guys are so brilliant. I know you'll figure it out. What about Walt putting his watch on the payphone?
That's a great question. You know, the symbolism, I really am not sure. I only have a guess on it. That was the watch
that Jesse gave him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that, you know, kind of that was his only bling, basically, for, you know, moving into the drug world, because he didn't really spend money except for the cars that he got. But that and then also that was the watch, of course, that we saw when he killed all the Mike's men.
In two minutes.
So that was the watch we saw there. And the only thing I was thinking is that he was, you know, there's a couple of things. He either was leaving a trail that Heisenberg was here because, you know, he dialed that phone.
Yeah.
And
obviously
his fingerprints going to be that. I don't exactly know why that would be and why anybody would care, but that was one thing that came up. The other thing that came up is he's getting rid of all vestiges or any and what is that what you were thinking?
The exact word was in my head. Last vestiges of life here on earth.
And also that's something that Jesse gave him. So there was that, leaving that, being divorced from that as well.
Well, right. At this point, he thinks Jesse's dead, so couldn't have also been like a goodbye thing to Jesse.
I don't think it's a goodbye thing, because I think for me, the way he said goodbye to Jesse was say, kill him. I don't think he's saying goodbye like, hey, sorry, it didn't work out. I don't think he was remorseful at all.
But he kept the watch all this time in the cabin.
It's a badass watch.
No, but all this time in the cabin, and you know this is post-Heisenberg. He's had all this time to think in the cabin.
Right.
So, I mean, perhaps he did somewhat regret how things went with Jesse, and that was kind of his, I'm going into this, and this is my goodbye to Jesse. That's kind of how I took it.
You know, there's definitely a few ways to kind of peel this out. I do think he's kind of divesting himself of all the Heisenbergian tropes. You know, when he comes out of that cabin, the only thing that tied him to Heisenberg anymore was the watch. He left the hat behind.
Yeah.
He left all the clothes behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the car was long gone.
Mm-hmm.
It was the last thing. It was the last thing he had to peel off of himself before he went and did his final great act, which to him was just dealing with the Schwartzes and then, you know, heading on to the Aryan Brotherhood.
So a full cycle?
It's kind of that full circle thing. I also think you're right. He's kind of leaving a trail for the police, you know, not only are his fingerprints there, it's the only thing that's physically tying him to the scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they find the car that they had suspected had been
stolen. New Hampshire, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Right. But that's the only thing that was definitively his on the site.
Yeah.
So they needed him to know, he wanted them to know that he was back in town.
Which is strange, too, because I didn't quite get why he wanted them to know.
He wanted them to know because ultimately, if he didn't die in this, I think he would have turned himself in.
Really?
I think so.
I think all along that, you know, he wanted to take everybody out along with himself.
Yeah, I was assuming again, suicide by cop was going to be
something like that, or again to throw less attention onto Skyler. You know, yeah. Like now he's dead, so okay. maybe they'll leave her alone.
Maybe not turn himself in, but he very much. He was okay if the bullet came from the cops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He just wanted the bullet at this
point. Well, we remember the phone conversation between Skyler and Marie was he made a bunch of calls putting threats on different places to spread them thin.
Yeah.
And that was so we could get around easier.
Right.
Sure.
Good point.
Yeah. So, you know, let him know that he's back in town and then spread him everywhere.
Yeah, but that's my point is, okay, why would you let it, if you wanted to get around easier and didn't, why would you let everybody know you're back in town, even though you could spread them thin? It's like, don't tell them at all, and then you don't have to worry about them being spread thin.
Because he wanted them to find him.
Yeah.
Well, but obviously, if he blew everybody away, they'd find him eventually because everybody'd be dead including him.
I think he wanted them to know that it was him before they got there.
Why, though? But that's what I
ego. Ego.
But what difference would it make if they knew before or after?
Well, what I said after this episode about the final scene was that he was in the lab. It was his empire. He had built this, and he had seen it rise, and now it has fallen. Right. He's gotten rid of everyone involved, and he is dead in the lab. Jesse's meth never existed. As far as they know, Jesse's nothing to do with this, so this is him. He's been the one along.
I would agree with that, except that I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think he was going to kill everybody and, you know, before he killed everybody, duck to the ground and then sneak over to the lab so he could die in the lab.
No.
Because that's how it came down.
No, but just being on site,
that's what I'm saying,
they
though.
Pin it on him.
But I agree. But, okay. But why would they need to know ahead of time? How does that help his ego?
Well, do you think they would have shown up at that place if they weren't on alert already? Like, do you think somebody reported it, or do you think he reported it?
Because they've shot
people. When
they
heard the hail of guns?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And he knows. He even said to Skyler, after tonight, they'll come find me. So, for whatever reason, in my mind, he had some sort of plan. Either it was just a hail fire or bullets.
Yeah.
That then they would come out because somebody would have heard those. So I don't know why. I just don't understand that part of it. Does anybody have an answer?
I don't. Give
him? Why would he say? Why would he let everybody know I'm coming back and then spread him thin? If you didn't want him to know, I mean, if you wanted to get around easy, don't say I'm coming back.
Right.
I don't know. I can't give you a firm answer, John. All I can say is this is a guy who's come close to turning himself in now twice.
Right.
You know, through this whole process.
Yeah.
He's suicidal. On a level, he has something to do, but then when it's done, he has nothing to live for.
Right.
I think that ultimately, he's giving the cops a fair chance, but not too fair. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And
he's like, if they somehow find me before this is done, I mean, I'll be pissed.
Yeah, but that's why I'm going. No, this guy wanted to finish business. You know he did. You
if it had only gotten
business.
Halfway done.
Yeah, that's a half measure. That would have been
horrible.
All right. And I'll eat it for that.
Yeah. But, you know, this was his 52nd birthday. And he got his wish.
Maybe he just wanted them to know he made contact with Skyler.
Yeah.
Maybe if she said that, then they wouldn't have believed her. But the fact that they knew he was in town.
Right.
It led them to believe that, okay, so he gave her this ticket, so now she has information that she can give to us.
Oh, to help her get off the hook.
Stephen Lemieux, 100% agree with that.
Because otherwise
statement.
They wouldn't believe that but his fingerprints are going to be all over that damn ticket.
So she could have been holding on to it all this time.
So what difference does that make? It's still a card she can play.
No, it makes a huge difference that she has no guilt in it.
She's not culpable.
That she's not culpable. She hasn't been sitting on evidence for months.
But here's the thing. Someone's going to say, so he's in town, but there's no evidence that he showed up to her.
Yes, there is. His fingerprints are all over the new furniture in the house. This new apartment that they were never in before.
His fingerprints are on that column.
Yeah, his fingerprints are on that column everywhere.
Yeah, because we saw that. All right, what do we got? I guess that's it. What else? There's the
closing
sign.
This
closing
song.
What was this? Stephen, tell
Baby
us about...
Baby Blue by Badfinger.
Yeah, but tell us about what it's done for sales.
Oh, I got to say, like, Vince is giving this band hundreds of thousands of dollars in sales right here. The finale of the greatest
band.
Show on television.
Yeah.
The downloads are through the roof.
So it's already. It's already, if you type in Bad F... like just like that, the first thing that comes up, Badfinger, Baby Blue,
go, baby
on
blue.
Google.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that was his baby. So it was another baby that survived him.
Oh, man.
There you go. All right. What final words do we have to say about it? Anything?
Oh,
have we talked
just
enough?
What a joy and a pleasure.
Yeah. Did it meet your expectations overall as a series? Is it in the top 10 for you?
Yes.
Yes.
The top 3 for you?
Yes.
Top 3.
Top
easily.
Top 1.
I mean, I have sentimental favorites, but if you're talking about consistent quality and daringness and cinematography performances, it's one of the greatest series of all time and potentially just like the greatest story told on television.
For me, because it hits on all cylinders more often than not. I mean, not more often, but consistently it's hitting, you know, nines and tens. For acting, writing, cinematography, directing, all of it. I story, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know of another one that's been able to sustain it this well for this long. Steven, I didn't hear what...
He's wanting to play us off.
We got to get out of here, but I got to say, top one for me. I mean, 20 years from now, people are going to be watching this show.
Absolutely.
Right on.
Brilliant. Brilliant. It's
last thing we do. Matt, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find me here on AfterBuzz TV on the Low Winter Sun, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Sleepy Hollow, and Sons of Anarchy after shows.
He's a busy man.
He is a busy man. I am at Tamara Berg, T-A-M-A-R-A-B-E-R-G on Twitter. Also doing Downton Abbey, the U.K. airing.
Hey,
you know, Breaking Bad. Great counterpoint to Breaking Bad.
Cheers
to
that. Steven, what are they hearing?
You guys can find me here at AfterBuzz TV, engineering all these shows, and at Stephen Lemieux on Twitter. All right.
The only place you can find me is at Downton Abbey with Tammy.
All right. What's Kristen's Twitter?
Cinematic Escape.
Cinematic Escape.
There you go.
Make sure to follow her. And
All right.
Thanks for hanging with us, everybody.
It has been a joy, and thank you for joining us. And we'll hope to talk to you next time.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
I totally forgot.
Herein are those of the host only, do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its own interpretation.